A service for the third Sunday in Lent, March the 3rd, 2024. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow up me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. The Lord be with you. And let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. An Old Testament reading from Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of animal, or anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it shall you not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And now an epistle from 1 Corinthians 1. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God, God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel is according to John chapter 2. Praise to you, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now for a sermon entitled, Jesus Knows and Cares, based upon the Gospel reading from John chapter 2. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One friend once said to another, what's wrong with this world is ignorance and apathy. The other responded, well, I don't know and I don't care. The point of the first one was thereby proved. Now, people do know a lot of things. The accumulative knowledge out there is massive. And people do care about a lot of things. People have all sorts of interests and hobbies over which they are very passionate. However, when it comes to spiritual matters and seeking the truth, many people don't know and they don't care. If you attempt to speak to them about it, the reply might simply be, whatever. They mean, if you benefit from what you believe, good for you, however, that's not for me. They'd rather not give much thought to spiritual matters. I trust, however, that you who have gathered here this morning to worship God in the church, that you do not feel this way. And quite frankly, if you did, you wouldn't be here now. You are concerned about your sins and how they separate you from God. You realize that there is nothing you can do to rectify this predicament. This makes you very glad about the gospel. That is how Jesus Christ came into this world in order to save mankind from sin. You know that it is by trusting in Jesus that you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and with that, the hope of eternal life. That being the case, we must admit that as the sinners that we remain, you and I struggle. We struggle with both ignorance and apathy. We don't know so much of what we could know about the Lord as revealed to us in His Word, and then we don't care that we don't know. Furthermore, we must admit that there are things that we don't know or care about when it comes to living in this world as Christians, nor what our mission for being here is. Yes, even as Christians, ignorance and apathy are what is wrong with you and me. In today's gospel lesson, we learn how this was a problem among God's people at a time when Jesus had come to Jerusalem. It was prior to the Passover, and the thing that the locals cared about was profiteering. The locals would milk the pilgrims coming there to worship for all that they could. Our text informs us how the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. The reason these were there is because the pilgrims coming there to worship could not easily bring with them sacrificial animals. They would have to buy them there. Unfortunately, the oxen, sheep, and pigeons were being sold at highly inflated prices. After all, the demand was high and the supply was low. Pilgrims had no option but to pay it. However, prior to making their purchases, the pilgrims would have to exchange whatever their foreign currency was to the local temple shekel. And you can be certain the exchange rate was high. Plus, there was a cut taken for the service. The locals anticipated Passover as a season of profitability. And then another dimension to this trade and commerce taking place is that it was set up in what was to be the court of the Gentiles. This was the closest that a non-Jew who believed in God and wanted to worship could come. However, with all this racketeering happening there, there was no way that this could happen. But then again, who knows of it? And for that matter, even if it is a problem, who cares? Pilgrims wanted to worship, the locals wanted to make money, the ones were getting their animals, the others were getting the money, and besides, who knows or cares about the Gentiles? Well, so it turned out there was one who knew what was happening and who deeply cared about it. He knew that Jews coming to sacrifice sheep didn't themselves need to be fleeced. He knew that Gentiles coming to worship needed a place where they could. He is Jesus, and Jesus cared to do something about it, and he did. We learn, and making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers, and he overturned their tables, and he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." Jesus knew this commerce was wrong, and he cared to do something about it. And so he did. It is then that we are told his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Yes, somehow Psalm 69:9 came to the disciples' minds, as they could immediately see how this applied to Jesus and what he had just done. Zeal had truly consumed their rabbi. Friends, maybe we don't know a lot about this, and maybe we don't care. When others look at our lives and how we conduct ourselves, they are not likely to recall Psalm 69:9. We maybe are not people whose zeal consumes us, at least not as much as it should. Now back to the incident. Did Jesus get away with doing what he did? No questions asked? Not at all. The text tells us, "So the Jews said to him, 'What sign do you show us for doing these things?' In other words, you better show some pretty hefty credentials to prove your authority, Jesus." And he intended to. Answering them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now, if Jesus could do something like that, that would be authenticating. However, that was an observe, answer. They responded to him, saying, It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? What he had spoken was utter nonsense as far as they were concerned. They didn't know what he was talking about, nor did they care. And so zeal for doing his father's business consumed Jesus. The Jewish leaders were more determined than ever to plot against him, benefiting from all that trade and commerce that Jesus had disrupted made them keener to do so. The file that they had against Jesus continued to grow and grow. Eventually, Caiaphas, the high priest, would make this pronouncement. It is better that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. Jesus' arrest would be planned and the evidence against him presented, and sure enough, at his trial, this is the evidence they brought forth. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands. And they all condemned him as deserving death. However, his dying was exactly what he had meant when he said what he did. Our text tells us that when he said what he did, he was speaking about the temple of his body. Jesus, in his great zeal, allowed himself to be beaten and crucified, to die and be buried. Jesus became like those animals that were for sale in the temple court, offering himself as a sacrifice. Jesus was sacrificed for the sins of the world. Hebrews 9:12 speaks of how Jesus entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. He thereby made it possible for all who trust in him to have their sins forgiven and be justified in the sight of God. How then can you and I know this to be true? We can by the other part of what Jesus said that he would do to the temple. He said, And in 3 days I will raise it up. Our text today concluded by telling us something else that would come to the disciples' minds. It says, When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Jesus knew what needed to happen. Jesus cared enough to do it. He allowed zeal for his Father's house to consume him. He did all this in order that we might know him and receive his care through the forgiveness of sins bestowed upon us through faith and baptism. And thus reminded of what Jesus has done for us, strengthened in holy absolution and soon in holy communion, we know more to care more. We know more about the love of God for us and for all, both Jew and Gentile. This empowers us to care more about the salvation of others, that they too receive the benefit of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. This makes us more concerned about the mission of his church. It be said of you and me, even in regard to this place, our church, zeal for your house will consume us. Now you know better. I trust that you care even more. Christ knows us. Christ cares for us. And all who die in him will rise again too. The last day. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Now let us pray. O Lord, you are a jealous God. In addition to our own, save the generations that come after us from the punishment that mankind deserves. Fill us, your people, with your Son's zeal for your house, that we may cast every idol from our hearts and be devoted to you and your commandments. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, your Son's cross and crucifixion is folly to the world, but it is the source of repentance and forgiveness for all his chosen ones. Preserve the preaching of the cross in our midst, that from his life-giving tree we would continually receive your faith-strengthening gifts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, preserve and bless all Christian households, that husbands and wives would live in love and service to each other, that fathers and mothers would diligently bring up their children to know of your care, and that children would honor their parents and be well equipped for service to their neighbors in this life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord of the perfect law, you have called us to honor our parents and all other authorities, that it may go well with us in our land. Bless all who govern us. Make them wise in your ways, that your justice may be upheld among us. Help us to serve and obey them in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord our God, your steadfast love in Christ is good. Turn in your abundant mercy toward all who suffer in our midst. Do not let the flood sweep over them, nor the pit close its mouth on them. Deliver them and grant them healing, comfort, and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, our rock and redeemer, though we cannot even discern all our errors, declare us innocent in Christ of all hidden faults, and by your Holy Spirit keep us back from presumptuous sins. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, you bless this day, and you make it holy with your word and the gifts of your altar. Grant that we may come before your presence, not boasting of ourselves, but of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, our rock and redeemer, 3 days after the temple of your Son's body was destroyed by wicked men, he raised it up again. Grant that on the last day, we and all saints who now rest in your presence may share in the glory of his resurrection. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and for all whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.